Hello and welcome to another episode of Never a Straight Answer Extra, the bonus podcast we throw out midweek because we're just kind of nice like that.
Ooh, yeah.
And we've got extra news that, you know, it's just clearing up the place otherwise. So, I'm Gaz, your host, and joined in the studio as always. We've got a co-host, Taylor. Mikey's in the building as well, enjoying a cup of tea. And Jay's having a kick in the corner. So, usually we just basically cover a bit of news that we didn't have time for in the main episode.
Yeah.
First off, just want to say, last possible opportunity to get your tickets for Pint of Science.
Get your ass down there.
If you don't know what it is, Pint of Science, we've teamed up with them. It's an event that's happening in Manchester, from talks from dark matter to microorganisms. They're going to be over 45 scientists hitting pubs and watering holes in Manchester for a global event.
Dark matter and all them kind of elements. Stuff, and it's worldwide.
It's a worldwide event, and Manchester's joining over 300 cities.
Hell yeah.
To kind of promote science. Yeah. So if you're interested in any of that and you're free this bank holiday weekend, save yourself nine grand by not having to go to university, because you can go in and see these lecturers for four quid and have a pint.
Yeah,
so
that's it.
Yeah, if you want to check that out, go over to pintofscience.co.uk/events/Manchester. Like I say, tickets are about £4, depending on availability. So yeah, check it out on the website and maybe see you down there. So. Yeah.
Check it out, man.
Anything interesting been happening for you this week, Taylor?
Yes, I've got a right. I know you like this film.
Oh, go on.
Right. Well,
Back to the Future, Hot Tub Time Machine. Go on.
That's the one first one you said.
First one, Back to the Future. Go on. It's time travel. Of course, I'm interested. What?
It's about to come on to Manchester as a musical.
You're joking.
Nope. It's coming in February 2020, and it's I think there's one show in Manchester and then it goes to London.
Is it a musical or is it like a stage show sort of thing? Because I've been to a couple of these big stage shows. I've been to Doctor Who Live, I've been to Batman Gotham City stage show.
It's a musical.
It's great. So what is it going to be? Huey Lewis? Huey Lewis is going to provide all the songs, like, we're going to get back
no
in
idea.
Time.
I think they're still in there.
Saying that,
like,
it
talks.
Is, you know, you've got the fact that you've got the main tune, which is like Huey Lewis in the News, Back in Time. You've got that classic Johnny Be Good. There's plenty of scope for it to be a musical.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering what other tracks they're going to throw in there. Like, obviously, a couple of 80s tunes, a couple of...
I think they might do a little mix.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You've got a lot of scope for different
generations of
music. So that's quite interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's obviously, when you start doing musical stage shows and stuff like that, then it's interesting because you've got a recast. Yeah. So Doc Brown. Obviously, Christopher Lloyd, definitive character, and obviously Marty McFly by Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I don't think they can do it no more.
I don't know if anyone realises this, but like in Back to the Future 1, the first film, Jennifer, Marty's girlfriend or love interest, right, is played by two actresses. Totally different actresses. Yeah. Right. At the beginning of the film. Yeah, halfway through the film. Now, there was a lot of kind of issues with casting for the film because it was supposed to be actually Eric Schwartz who was supposed to play Marty.
Right.
They filmed 80% of the film and decided that he wasn't right for the role. Right. Took him off. Apparently, he was a method actor as well. He was causing a load of crap on set.
All right.
So they got rid of him.
They were a rebel, eh?
When he wanted Michael J. Fox, but he was busy with family ties, so they did a deal with the studio when they were able to get him.
Yeah.
Which meant that they had to film literally the whole film again, which was cool for Christopher Lloyd because he'd already done it once. He was able to just whiz through it. Michael J. Fox
didn't know shit about it.
He had to just come in as a fresh face and then reprise this role or take this role off somebody else who's literally been doing it.
Well, and this girl didn't like it or something, she fucked up.
The thing about Jennifer is that at the beginning of the film, when he's kind of like, you know, having a bit of a chat with her and she helps him, says, oh, come this way, you don't want to get in trouble, you'll get a detention.
Yeah.
That Jennifer is not the Jennifer at the end of the film, yeah, and who was also in Back to the Future 2. Do you know where? Makes me think that obviously, right, so here's a theory for you, right? So, Marty McFly's gone back in time.
Yeah.
Right? He's attended the school that his mum and dad obviously attended.
Yeah.
Right? And he's interfered. He's stopped them from meeting the way they did, and he's had to kind of rectify the situation, otherwise he's going to disappear.
Yeah.
Right? How do we know that he didn't inadvertently stop Jennifer's dad from meeting Jennifer's mum, and therefore the Jennifer that he comes back to is the seed of Jennifer's dad, but the egg from a different woman entirely, which makes her a totally different Jennifer. Do you know
what
I mean?
That's a good point,
yeah. And I don't think anyone's ever brought it up, so let me be the first, right? That is a theory that I came up with, just pondering.
Yeah, but
I
hold on.
Noticed it with different actors.
There are totally two different actors.
I'm going to look out for it, but hold on. But isn't it supposed to be true that when you jump time, you jump time into an alternative reality?
Oh,
so
yeah.
That means you wouldn't be able to get
in,
back.
Well,
exactly
in the modern interpretation
in
of
the
time
modern,
travel,
before we
is like it branches off and it's the many worlds sort of kind of like the tree branching off and creating different. Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that you could jump back in any time because if you go back in time and create an alternate timeline, right, you'd probably only be able to jump back to the point where you change things.
Well, this is the thing,
if you jump back to a point, say, between, it'd still be the future of, or the past of the future you've just then created.
So,
if you go back far enough, you could get to a point where it was pre-change. Now, I think Endgame's kind of covering this. I mean, they've kind of they've basically gone towards a modern interpretation of time travel in terms of, like, how you could go back and kill your grandfather and not, like, have any repercussions because you'd still come from a timeline where your grandfather existed.
Yeah.
You're not going to blink out of existence.
Yeah.
Whereas the old version of time travel was exactly that. Whereas today's version is that it just create a branched off timeline. Whereas, like, I don't want to do any spoilers, but say if I went back in time and, you know, I lived out my life, whereas I wouldn't have, where I shouldn't be there, then I have encounters and different interactions with people that would then branch off and create a whole different.
But also with you disappearing,
reality, a whole different set of scenarios.
But with you doing that and you disappearing from the first reality, there must be consequences for that action of you not being there.
Oh yeah,
when
of course
you should have been there in the
but
first place.
But only from the point, where because you're moving backwards. So where the point where you cease to be in that first timeline.
Yeah.
So you've got to say 2019, right? And you've decided to go back in time. The future reality that you've just come from will really doesn't matter because it just it'll carry on without you in it. And you're not creating any different interactions, so you're then not creating anything that would miss you.
But surely, when you would do time travel, you would have to be in, let's say, this reality. You have to be here at all that time.
Yeah.
There is no part where you could miss a little bit of the time, like you go off somewhere. Let's say you go off at 1 o'clock tonight, and then you come back at, let's say, 3 o'clock, so you're missing the time between the time angle between 1 and 3.
But would
so that hour
you do that
must
nights,
have consequences
but
for not
you necessarily
being.
Necessarily, because you generally disappear every night. You go to bed for 8 hours at a time, right? So nothing, there's no consequences for you not interacting with the world between the hours of you going to bed and waking up.
But what about the time? What about the levels of not just your mind, but the bodies of the quantum realm of where things would be different. That you have to be here. That's why you are here. If you disappear from this area,
it's like
there has
that,
to be a reaction.
It's like that film. What's that film? It's a big Christmas film, big in America, where there's a guy who he's struggling with his life, he's very depressed, a wonderful life, Right. Have you ever heard of the Wonder? It's a Wonderful Life.
Probably have seen.
So basically, it's a lot of it's to do with all the people, like you know, we met over his life, and he's kind of thinking, I'm going to commit suicide, and the world doesn't appreciate me, and it doesn't deserve me, and I don't know why I bother with this world. But then it's like it looks back on all the people he's known and interacted with, and and those interactions, no matter how small, basically mean something. And like, you know, if he wasn't there at all, say if he never existed, what would life have been like? Even though he feels like he's not contributing anything to the world,
but take it's not him his out decision.
Of that, take him out of that from the very start, then everybody else's life would suffer for it because he wasn't there.
Well, because that's selfish, and it's not his decision. It's the people around him that's the decision if he's worth something or not.
You don't know, because you might feel worthless. People
depression
might,
and that.
A lot of people might not even twig onto these subtle sort of like things, like, you know, in terms of chance meetings or people you interact with.
Yeah.
I mean, you might think that was just a kind of, that was nice bumping into so-and-so.
Right.
But they go off, and just from seeing you and having that interaction with you, it changes their life completely.
Yeah, it changes their life.
Like, now they don't know that's a result of meeting up with you, but it was that chain of events.
Yes, and that's why you can't judge yourself.
Exactly.
You've got to let someone else judge you.
But other people can't judge you either, because it's not a case of that they have that inside information. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but no, I mean, they judgment know as in you. Your wealth to them.
Yeah.
Your well-being to them is their judgment on
you. Always meet you people will. Who you meet people through another person, and you always think, oh, if I never would have known you, I wouldn't have met so and so.
Yeah, it's like, if I didn't know you, I wouldn't have met guys.
Exactly, there's always chains.
And
it's those chains that kind of, if you take one chain out, the whole thing falls apart.
Yeah, exactly.
Sort of thing. So, and then further down the line, it could result in like a butterfly effect where
there has somebody, to be some effect,
somebody's not born because so-and-so didn't meet, who didn't introduce them to another person, who didn't get married, who didn't have that child, who didn't then go on to win a Nobel Prize in whatever, or be a life-saving surgeon, or whatever the situation is.
It's how critical that person who has disappeared, that's changed
certain people in history.
Yeah, it would create, it would, now, it would change history.
The guy who
time.
Introduced Hitler's mum and dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that guy. Even it's Hitler. Like, what was you thinking, mate? Yeah. It's like, oh, well, you didn't know. He was just introducing his friend to this lady, and they hit it off, and they had a child, right? That's still a butterfly effect. That's still sort of like a destiny. And going back to the conversation we had last week.
America could have turned around and said, no, sort it out yourself. You know what I mean? Churchill could have turned around and gone, you know what, I'm with the rest of the MPs.
A number of things could have happened, but it's all linked and, you know.
Yeah, it's all linked, and we still don't understand.
Based on how this conversation started, Back to the Future musical.
Well,
So when's that supposed to start?
February 2020.
I'm going to that.
Start.
I'm definitely going to that.
I can give you an example of what Gaz was on about, though. Right. Say, like, I've come here today. If I didn't come, it wouldn't be any different, would it, from normal?
Yeah, of course it would.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it would. If I'm not here, you'd still do the podcast, so me not being here doesn't affect it.
No,
so,
but your influence.
Yeah, you have an opinion
it.
And sort of like
you can say something.
You say some stuff that sparked the conversation and pushes it in a flow,
like you've just done now. Yeah.
You know, it's like we're carrying on the conversation because you've input something into it. No matter how small, everybody's contribution is worth something, so
chin up, guys. Yeah.
Always keep a smile on your face. You are worthwhile. Yeah. We love you, and there you go.
Get
Got
on with
story
it.
Got a story here. Moving on. British backpacker jailed.
What for now? Which country?
Right, in Thailand, right? He picked up a lost mobile phone.
Right.
Right. He decided that he'd just pick it up and he'd hand it into the authorities, so he says. But he got as far as the airport, on his flight back to England, decided he was going to hand this phone in at the airport, but was basically arrested for theft. He's actually being able to return back to the UK now, but he was held in a Thailand prison. So after finding a mobile phone, I think obviously it's like what was on this phone.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like you find a phone. Fair enough. I mean, the fact that he'd pocketed it, maybe potentially thought, oh, yeah, there's a phone here. I might try and see if I can get away with this.
Well, he must have knew it was theft.
Well,
if you get caught with it,
well, right, then is it theft? Yeah. If you find something, is it?
Yeah, because it's not yours.
Is it not losers weepers?
Choosers. Yeah, nine tenths of the law. I've got it.
Finders keepers, losers weepers. Is that not what it is? Because that's. I mean, at the end of the day, yeah. It's like something like a mobile phone, or all right, then what if I was find a gold ring on the floor, right? Now the moral thing to do is hand it in, yeah,
yeah,
right. But you're a backpacker, you're in another country.
Yeah.
How would you go about that? You're in a rush. You've got your plane to catch. Now the next place that he's going to, where there's going to be any sort of authority, is an airport, right? So he's decided I'm going to go and hand that in. So I mean. At the end of the day, if it was money, a wallet, or anything like that, I'd make extra effort to hand that in, yeah? A mobile phone, yeah, I'd try and hand it in.
See what happens to good doers.
But this is he's tried to do the right thing, and he's been held for theft.
Messenger always gets shot.
It's an interesting story. The moral of it is, if you do see something on the floor in a foreign country...
And you're not supposed to have it.
Just leave it where it is. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, take all the details and shit, you know what I mean? Do some dodgy dealings and then throw it away.
No, I wouldn't touch it. Have you seen this story? The police are mocked on social media after putting out a bizarre e-fit that just basically looked like a Lego man.
No.
Right, yeah. I mean, I've seen the picture. The guy's got a super square head. And actually quite reminiscent of Crichton from Red Dwarf.
No.
Yeah, the bizarre... I've not got the picture up, the bizarre police e-fit appeared to attract a lot of attention after police basically wanted a man who looked like a Lego figure.
What, was he a bit yellow?
He wasn't. He just... He had facial features were pretty standard, looked a bit kind of normal, like a normal dude.
But
it was the shape of his head, right? It was just unreal. So Northamptonshire police, it was part of that as well, his haircut all added into it and made it was the shape.
Right.
So Northamptonshire police issued an image to try and catch a burglar who'd been, who knocked on a woman's door and told the occupant he needed to check the pipes due to a sewage issue. Yeah,
is that one?
That's the guy. Yeah.
He's
just got a picture of him up. He looks like a proper square.
He does look like Crichton, though, doesn't he? Yeah. Proper. Yeah. Oh, my days.
You're
going to love him in jail.
He forced his way in to the back garden and then basically tried to get into the house in Northampton. So they've put this out on Facebook. One user said it looks like the star of the Lego movie. Another user said...
Batman.
was he in an accident during the burglary? So it's got a lot of... It's got a lot of kind
Fell
of,
over the fence.
Got a lot of giggles and it's got a lot of a bit of comedy value. But the police are being ridiculed because obviously they put this out.
Yeah, what they sent back, like, well, we're looking for a Lego man. Yeah, I've seen him in the local shops.
Yeah, I've seen... He's in all available stockers.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can change him. I don't know because the kids just keep taking his head off and putting him on different bodies, so they keep changing his outfit. I can't keep track of where he is.
That'd be funny if I was living down there. I'd get a Lego man just walk in the police station.
I found him.
Got him.
Doing your job for you.
Yeah, can I get paid now?
Or I'd arrange a photo fit or one of those police lineups.
I'd have
a Duplo figure next to a Lego figure.
Yeah.
Next to a He-Man figure.
Yeah.
Next to...
A real man.
A real man. Yeah.
And a real woman.
Yeah. And then I'd be like, can you point out the one who did it?
Yeah, I think it's a real man.
Have you got any news you'd like to talk about?
No, but I believe you have.
I have, yeah. Yes. Due to the regional laws,
yes.
Red Dead Redemption, only certain countries are getting the poker that's out on the...
Mean America won't get our treat?
When Red Dead Redemption first came out online, and I was really looking forward to it because I said, that's going to be great, that, you know, we can all go to a saloon We can all play a bit of Texas Hold'em.
Yeah.
And it'll be quite enjoyable.
Yeah, we've all.
Then Rockstar put out a report saying that they weren't going to be pursuing that because it was more like gambling.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to promote gambling. Right,
and that's when we stopped.
So I was kind of bummed out by
that.
Big thing about the online that we was looking forward to, and I know a lot of people were.
Yeah.
Because it was like a really good Texas Hold'em game on Xbox.
Yeah.
Where you could play as your avatar.
Yeah.
Which was great.
Texas Hold'em.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We used to always play that. And so when they said no, you can't sit there as your cowboy avatar and play poker, it was a big knock. Yeah,
throw me toys out the pram.
It was a bit of a relief to see that this update recently was.
It'll bring a few more people, but I think they've already destroyed it.
They've absolutely destroyed it. They've locked the microtransactions. Have done it, so anything you buy with microtransactions,
you can't use on. That's fair enough.
And stop people.
But I don't get it though, because Xbox. I mean, it's not Xbox. It's Rockstar. They've got no problem with you buying shark cards and then able to on GTA. Then bet on your friends in a car racing game, which is technically gambling. You're basically using real money. It's not like you can cash it out, but it saves you buying more shark cards in the future. Yeah. So, you know, you are still gaining. You can still use it to progress in your game. So, yeah, it's a big swizzle. I think, like, you know, in terms of microtransactions, just get rid of the lot. I think there was a Star Wars game that's just been
released. But then they don't make the money.
EA have announced that they're just going to do a game which has got no microtransactions whatsoever.
Yeah.
Right? And do you know what? It won't surprise me if they make an absolute killing on it.
Yeah.
And just sell it as a game. Yeah. Which one was it?
The Fallen Jedi.
That's it. And, you know, it's literally a single player game. Right? Yeah. And they've probably made more money there than they will through microtransactions, because people don't want them. They just want to play a game. And progress and earn the characters and earn the levels as you play, like you used to.
Instead of what I call cheaters.
Yeah. Instead of getting cash off mummy and daddy and wine blowing people up.
It doesn't make make you skillful at something just because you can put your hand in your pocket and buy it. Yeah. If I go out and do it, I'm earning it. And I've got to be a level at the game.
I never
and
put proper cash in.
To
Never.
Be able to afford it and be able to get that skill.
Yeah.
So,
Because don't forget, you're putting more capital into it. They're going to try and get more out of you.
They're not.
Less. And that's probably why, did you hear this news? I know you heard, Mike, about Sony and Microsoft are coming together to try and make a console that beats Microsoft's Xbox and Sony's PlayStation.
And who's this?
This is
Sony and Microsoft.
Yeah, basically joining together.
Doing a service.
So
like
they're
going to
try and. So they're going to try
outbid
and.
Outbid themselves.
Well, they're going to try and corner the market, aren't they? They're going to say, either way you look at it, you've got half of them. They're only getting 50% of the market each. At the most, right? So. You know, one's going to always do a little bit better, and
it's going to waver.
It's like one gets it, the next year the other gets it. So it's like, if you can kind of join forces, it's like what we were talking about in the main episode about NASA giving 45.6 million into 11 companies that are going to help them get to the moon.
Yeah.
It's like, it's beneficial, because at the end of the day, if they're joining forces, they're making all of the money.
Yeah.
It's like Netflix. Netflix is going to go under because Disney have got all the content, right?
When Disney launch
whatever they call theirs, Disney Plus, then they're going to monopolise and they've got cornered the market. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, what Netflix should be doing is going, do you know what, Disney? Do you want to do a deal? Or Disney should be trying to buy Netflix out, because at the end of the day, they probably will. You know, they've already got the infrastructure.
Yeah.
They've already got the subscription base.
Yeah.
All they need now is content, which Netflix are doing a pretty good job of.
Yeah.
But, like, it's getting to the point now where they're going to have a lot of it taken away.
But it's quick and fast with business now.
Disney, though, that they're a big production house. They'll be able to smash content out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With recognisable characters that everyone loves, and they're all going to go and lap it up.
And so probably ruin some of the content.
Basically,
as well.
This collaboration leads on about, they've said it's a Netflix-style service where you can have
renting
TV
games.
And games.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And I don't think it's going to work because you think Nintendo and Sega tried to make a console years ago together. And there's only one prototype out there.
Right.
It's worth over £1 million.
So what do you think is going to happen? They're going to try and work together and it's not going to work in terms of like the
one are going to want to do one thing and the other are going to want to do that same thing and they're going to go, well, we can't do it both.
Well, no, what you need there is if you're going to do something for both companies, you start up a new wing of that.
Yeah.
Of you basically set up a new team, you throw them in a new building, you say, listen, you're not Sony, you're not Microsoft, you're this. Now you work together, you're both working to develop on this machine, right? So you work out your differences, just like if Microsoft was sat in a room trying to work out what the next Xbox was going to look like, they'd come up with issues where one of the development team would say, oh, we want a Blu-ray, and the other one says, oh, we want HD. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, it's a case of, like, butting the reds together until they can come to a compromise, isn't it?
I don't think it'll work, though, because Nintendo did it with Sega. They made a Sega Saturn plus a Super Nintendo together, and they end up falling out over who was going to market it, who was going to do the marketing for it.
See, that needs to be sorted all out first, and I suppose that's what they're discussing now, and they reckon that they're probably about halfway through, if not a majority of the way through. So now they can announce it. And then when they get these little difficult parts out of the way, hopefully, they're going to do it. But it's that Madbox that's going to do it.
That's what they're doing it for, because they've openly admitted that they're worried because Madbox has all these features.
Yeah,
they can
play
PC games on it, play other games on it.
Yeah.
And they're getting worried.
I think obviously, like, they've proven that there is a kind of a call for it with the games passes and stuff like that. So I think, obviously, like, there is scope for being able to get whatever game you want to play at just a download, an hour you're playing the game. I mean, it's in that respect, yeah. But I just think the team-up sort of thing, I don't know where it's going to go.
People,
I just think people...
People just
when you've got
away.
All these subscriptions, it's just too much now. They need to kind of, like, slim it back down.
Yeah,
and like I've said this, it's going to come to a point when it's a novel idea that TV has all these shows in one place.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? On terrestrial TV. So, anything else you want to discuss? I've got a couple more stories. Yeti footprints have been found in India.
Shit.
Yeah, so basically bizarre tweets have come up about the elusive snowman and its discovery in the Himalayas.
He's on his holiday.
Yeti footprints have been sighted by the Indian Army and announced on Twitter, triggering a load of kind of stuff coming out over social media.
Right.
There's been kind of people making jokes about it, but then obviously the serious element of it.
Well, there's an animal out there somewhere.
So the Yeti, also known as the Abominable Snowman, or Bigfoot, has been said to basically look like a big ape-like creature and inhabiting the Himalayan mountains. Humans have for centuries been searching for the Yeti and never found it, never had any luck. But, you know, when there's been kind of pictures gone up on social media of sightings of Bigfoot, and obviously what was the film that was very famous of, like, that sighting in America, where it was literally like a glimpse, but it's always really sketchy film, isn't it?
Yeah,
and it was really needed stabilising, I think, you know, like,
definitely.
Very bad shaky cam.
So what, the Indian Army going out searching for...
They were actually just... basically, the Indian Army were just on camping up. They were on manoeuvres. And they were going through the Himalayan mountains, and they found they found some footprints.
Yeah.
Right? And they've said that these footprints... They know they're supposed to be Yeti, because any other sort of footprints just didn't match up. Now, there was a case of where there was actually a smaller footprint behind,
right,
which leads them to believe that it was actually a baby Yeti with them as well. Now,
well, you would have thought
any Yeti researcher will tell you that they have these things on the feet, like these sort of nodules on the pads.
Okay.
Right? And now, if they haven't got them, then it's generally not a Yeti, right?
Oh, right, so that could be a way of proving that it's not some fucking kid's
Yeah, it's not a fake thing. Now, right, bear in mind, this is up in the Himalayan mountains as well. Yeah, so to go up there and plant, you know,
footprints, well,
then it's a bit of a stretch, right?
Very much
and this is, the, like I say, the Indian Army. So it's not just your Johnny come lately guy up the mountain.
And they know the area. Yeah. They've been trained down there.
So they were caught off guard when social media was caught off guard when the Indian Army tweeted claims that they'd unearthed evidence of the mythical Himalayan monster. The verified Twitter account of the Indian Army basically published a couple of photos that claimed the Yeti tracks in the snow. So it wasn't even a case of that it was like mud or, you know, like set or like in rock. It was literally snow.
Well, then they must have been so close to it. They must have been at least a couple of hours beforehand. Because
the snow would have covered it
within a couple of hours.
It must have been, depending on how long it had been snowing for and not snowed. But the army are basically saying that it's definitive. Well, they've got proof now that these creatures exist.
Well, surely they must have followed the trail.
Well, I don't know.
And where would it end? And, like,
maybe they've got one. Maybe they've caught it. We don't know. Like I say, there wasn't just, as far as I know, the pictures that they tweeted were just of one or two footprints. But as far as I know, they were actually trails or tracks.
Right,
it wasn't just the one.
Yeah.
I think there's more to it than that. But, based on this article,
give some info out.
They've basically not provided any more evidence or any more information, the Indian Army. So, got another story about, have you heard Jeremy Kyle's been taken off?
Yes!
Yeah! Now, I've got a bit of a mad one, right? Because I was doing this job, a photography job.
Yeah.
And I went to Media City in Manchester, Salford. Do apologise, it's in Salford.
Yeah, right.
You got the big distinction, difference between Manchester and Salford.
Yeah, but Ben,
do you know what, to be honest, right? Salford's closer to Manchester City Centre than where I live.
Yeah.
And where I live is considered Manchester, which it is Manchester, but Salford's literally on the doorstep of the city centre.
Yeah.
Right? And the only reason why they're classed as their own city is because they have a cathedral.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love Salford, got a lot of time for you guys.
Yeah, man.
Salt of the earth people, do you know what I mean? But when I went to Media City, I was doing this job, and I went into this building that shared a building, or went to this office that shared a building with ITV.
Yeah.
Right? And there was a couple of people sat in the reception, and I thought, these two look a bit strange. What are these doing?
A bit of balls,
right? So then the man I went to meet came down, and he said, did you see the contestants? So I said, the contestants? What? He was like, yeah, they're here for the Jeremy Kyle show. So I was like, oh, right.
Contestants?
So that's what they call them, the contestants, right? So, you know,
I know they were, that show for
so
reason.
They were, you know, it's entertainment, you know, at the end of the day, they consider him contestants, right? So I was just like, yeah, there were a couple of oddballs, but you know, that I found it a bit kind of funny that they did call them contestants. So, you know,
I
say, the ITV show was being taken off the air. Jeremy Kyle was taken off the air immediately, indefinitely earlier this week, following the death of one of the guests.
Okay.
So, you know, the ITV bosses have said that, they're going to be looking into the future of the show. But I think a guy you work with at the moment, Phil.
Yeah.
Rig.
Yeah.
Right, sorry, I don't know if he wants his name put out, but oh well.
Too late
he
now.
Put something on Facebook about, they're going to take off Jeremy Kyle. Now, I think, take it off, it's car crash TV, mate.
Yeah,
and think, you know,
it's ruining society.
It's a horrible sort of fucking show. If you don't know what it is, obviously, like our listeners in America, Springer. It's like Jerry Springer.
They had Jeremy
Callan
in America.
Oh, did they hate
him? Yeah, someone threatened to actually shoot
him. He used to do stuff over there, didn't he? So, they should know where
He's been taken off now anyway. But what his point was, Phil's, was that, you know, two people committed suicide after the Love Island yeah. and nothing got said. The show's not been taken down.
No.
Yeah, right. But yet one of their contestants has a incident and they're taken off, you know.
But
so
the thing is, they already showed that they have a psychological profile there and someone who would look after it, you know, about all the shit that's going on right there and then. Now, it wasn't proven that in Love Island that you were just basically let back out on the streets and gone, go on, go and have some fun, fuck about, do what you want. It's down to you, your life.
Yeah, that's it.
But Jeremy Kyle's show had a...
The vulnerable people.
Had people yeah. there who was responsible for that kind of action. So
he did.
They were covered, but obviously it didn't work.
The guy that killed himself, allegedly killed himself because... He said that the lie detector test was wrong.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
So yeah, but you know, it's funny, don't go on a show like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm not being, no, I don't, opinion. But maybe he's gone on adamant that it is true and that, like, no, that he's right and he knows for a fact that he didn't do anything.
And he's
you know,
been,
they're not 100% accurate lie detectors. No. You know, and you can beat them. There are ways of beating a lie detector.
Stop
now, maybe he was a nervous guy with nervous disposition as it is. He's obviously proven that he had issues because he's obviously fucking gone to that extreme.
Yeah.
But what I'm thinking is, if he's, you know, having problems and he's a nervous guy and, you know, the machine's picked up on it and give a false reading, right? That's tipped him over the edge.
Yeah.
He's been then branded a liar on national TV.
Yeah.
His reputation's ruined.
Yeah.
He's not got a leg to stand on because basically he's just gone on thinking that he was going to fucking show the world that he was right and it's all backfired on him.
Makes you question how many more of them.
Exactly.
I understand that,
yeah.
But my point in thinking is, why go on the fucking show?
No, but that's it. I think it takes a certain type of person to want to go on these shows and air the dirty laundry in public. And just have a fucking rant
it's
and an argue.
I have a mate.
Do you want money? Do you want fame? Do you want to show your face?
It's not a case of. I mean, the only person I've ever seen to like actually make money off one of these sort of shows is the See Me Outside girl.
Yeah, but if I told you that,
you know,
and you didn't
see
know,
me outside,
and I threw you in the doorstep afterwards, what are you gonna do about it? You can't do nothing about it. I said I'll make you some money now.
I had a friend, Craig, that's been on Jeremiah Kyle. Twice. The third time.
What did he do?
He was
figuring it.
No, his kids weren't actually his.
Right.
But the third time he was on for the third kid.
Now, for something like
got
that.
He killed on the way.
Now, if you've got really
fucking hell, that's bad.
I think if you've got a lot, you know, like a bit of an Esther Hanson moment where you've long got a long lost mother or a long lost sibling, or you know, you're. You want to definitively prove that those children are yours, or there is a bit of unsure. You don't know your wife was a bit promiscuous, and there's a chance that it's one of three guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. Then, if it's gonna prove that yes, you are the dad.
Yeah.
Then, and it gives you that closure. Then.
Yeah, but.
But do it behind closed doors. Go to a fucking doctor's office and say, "Here's the DNA, doc. Can you give us a DNA test?"
Who's to say that won't happen exactly the same as the lie detector? Because at one point or another, there's going to be a mistake like there was with the lie detector.
Yeah. Well,
and what is the consequences of the actions of that? They're supposed to have had things covered.
I don't get why the show's getting so much flack and Jeremy Kyle's getting so much flack.
I don't think it's his fault.
Well,
it's his
show. It's his concept, and what he does is he's trying to say that he's helping people and
he's trying to
act like it's he's doing a good thing and trying to bring families together and all the rest of it. But you can't deny that it's entertainment, and you are using your contestants to entertain people.
Yeah,
right?
And he did put his fingers in the air there when he said contestants.
I did that in quotations, contestants. But the fact is that if you, you know, the most more extreme it is, or the more kind of shocking it is,
the more people watch, the more ratings you get.
I just don't understand why people would want to go on.
It's a business at the end of the day.
He owes all of his success to these people, right? And he has a responsibility to him. Now, if he's not kind of getting the people the help they need, now, Jeremy Kyle does this total 180, whereas if he thinks that you're guilty, and if the lie detector says you're guilty, then he goes, and you ape try and still deny it, he does go ape shit at you. Yeah. So at the end of the day, mate, if I was put in that position and I couldn't get a word in edgeways, because Jeremy Kyle, I would have rather knocked him out, or I would have gone away feeling like shit. You know
thinking like, I'm going to fucking talk yourself.
The end of that is, if you don't like what's said, don't go to the fucking show.
Yeah.
Don't air your dirty
laundry. I think if you were desperate and I'd offered you something to get out of that desperation, you're going to do it.
I think this could potentially see the end of...
That's you.
I could
because
see...
A lot of people haven't got that choice.
You don't air your dirty laundry.
I can see this being the end of this type of show now. I think we've done... We've done the car crash TV thing. We've done the like you say, Jerry Springer, and like
that
you
was
know,
a great show.
Well, no, because Jerry Springer was just that took it from one extreme to the other. They got to the point where they were getting actors in to make it as vicious as possible. And
yeah, and I know, but it was.
And if it wasn't for Jeremy Kyle, they would not be. No, if it wasn't for Jerry Springer, there'd be no shows
totally
like Jeremy
agree.
Kyle.
I totally agree. Jerry Springer was like the you know, he was the king for a long while. He was the one who brought
and as well,
that process out.
Do you not think it's how you handle it as well? Because you have shows like Judge Rinder and Judge Judy, where it's the same sort of problems. You're coming in with issues and like, you know, he's wronged me in this way, but it's handled in a courtroom setting where you've got to be respectful to one another.
Yeah.
You've got to be respectful to Judge Judy. Yeah. And you've got to do it.
And the judges on trial as well as the other people.
It's the way that the show handles the contestants, or handles the people who are coming onto the show, and doesn't just make it a fucking free-for-all circus.
Well, I'm sick of companies being able to turn around and go, oh, whoops, it was a mistake, especially with deaths. It was a mistake, we'll learn from this, and we'll carry on. And it's a case of, hold on. You've just murdered someone. It's actually corporate manslaughter. You've murdered someone, yet you're never going to see your face in court because you probably fucking bonged someone. Or you know the law to work the way around it.
Well, there you go.
It's bollocks, man.
See you later. See you later, Jezza. You will not be missed.
Thank you
and good night. Well, that's the... And talking about thank yous and good nights, that's the end of our show tonight. So, yeah, well, that's what's it. We've for another episode of Never Straight Answer Extra this week.
Yeah.
I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope you enjoyed the main show. If you've got anything you'd like to add, ask, or just send us a comment or question, you can hit us up at neverstraightanswer@gmail.com. We're on Twitter. Yeah. You can tweet us.
Or Patreon. Yeah. We'd love to see a little bit of green.
Yeah, send us. Yeah, if you want to help us out, it'll cost you as little as a coffee
£12 a week.
Yeah. £12 a year? Yeah, that sounds way too expensive. No, I'm joking. That sounds all right.
I see somewhere it's fucking like £20 a fucking
few extra
day.
Bits of content on there as well, so it's cheaper than Netflix.
Yeah,
and, you know, we're probably a bit more entertaining than some of the shit on there. So you can get us on Twitter at NASA_never. We're also on... Oh, that'd be a good idea, that.
Yeah.
If ITV were to get in touch.
Yeah, yeah.
You can get us on, what is it, Instagram at NASA... Never Straight Answer. We're on Patreon, as Taylor said.
Yeah.
Also, if you like to get a bit of merch, we do baseball caps and t-shirts and mugs and all that stuff at Dizzy Jam, Never a Straight Answer. And that's pretty much it. Oh, we're available on all the podcast platforms.
Yeah, we are.
I had no internet this week. Nope. So, you know, it's been a bit of a struggle the last couple of weeks, but to kind of respond to everybody in a timely fashion and also keep on top of the social media stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously, as well, this week's extra was a bit late. Do apologise about that. But
naughty boy, don't do it.
No, it's fine. So back to normal service as of next week. Everything should be running a bit more smoothly.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
I think so, Sam.
We enjoyed this topic. I think we're going to try and find a nice conspiracy for everybody for next week.
Yeah,
we've not done a conspiracy for a bit. A bit of government, a project, a bit of project something or other.
Oh, yeah. I said I never say that.
Yeah, well,
the government took him and switched him.
Yeah, well, we'll catch you next week. Hopefully, we might not be overrun by fucking hundreds of clone tailors.
Yeah, I'm going to take over the world.
Yeah, we'll see him on Jeremy Kyle. He'll be Taylor Kyle, yeah. President Taylor.
Yeah, Trump's going to destroy the world, and I'm going to come in and kick ass and go right.
And then I'm going to recreate it in my own image. No,
I'm
the most fucking handsomest one in the room.
Oh, right.
That's enough for us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Be out.